Thank you, Gary, for leading us in that communion time. And Shannon earlier alluded to the week that we've had. A number of you were affected by the weather this last week, some having personal damage, business damage. You, all of us here, probably know of someone that has had damage. Thankfully, we're here today, safe. And I just thought it would be good if, before I preach today, that we would have a prayer for those that have been affected by the weather, and pray too that God could help you be the hands and feet of Jesus to others during this time. Look for somebody that you can help. Look for somebody that you can show the love of Jesus to. You know, if you weren't affected by the weather, praise God for that. But maybe find somebody that was, and through your service to them, through your love to them, show Jesus. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your presence here today. Thank you that we could be here today, each of us. And there are many in the community that have been affected by the weather. And I just pray that you would help them. But Lord, we don't want to be ones who just pray for the hurting as we sit in our seat and do nothing. Lord, help us to have our eyes open. Help us to have our feet ready, our hands ready. Help us to find someone that we can show the love of Jesus to. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the next several weeks, we are going to be looking at some of the parables taught by Jesus that teach us to be all in. All of us, all in, all the time. That's the theme for 2025, and I hope that it is a message that we are embracing, that each of us would want to be all in with Jesus. This series will include Easter Sunday, which is, by the way, just 2 weeks away, and I hope that you will plan on being here on Easter and help us celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It's a good day to invite your family members to come to church with you. It's a good day to invite friends to come to church with you. We will have two services that day, one at 9 a.m., one at 10:30 a.m., our regular church time. That means no Sunday school for that day. We will have donuts in between the services. But I want to encourage you to be thinking ahead, to be praying about who you can invite, and pray that God will use those services to touch other people's lives and that His name will be lifted up above every other name. Jesus did a lot of teaching in parables. In fact, one-third of His teaching was done in parables. A parable could be defined in this way: an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus loved to tell stories, and some of them were easy to understand. Others required more thought. And there's an interesting dialogue between Jesus and John the Baptist in season 2 of The Chosen about this very thing. John was not happy with Jesus about his telling so many stories, and the fact that some of those stories were hard to understand. John was more of an in-your-face kind of person. And he wanted Jesus to quit telling so many stories and get with the program. But Jesus said, "John, sorry, that's not how it's going to be." In fact, the prophet Isaiah predicted 700 years beforehand that the Messiah would speak in parables. In other words, that he would tell stories. And so that's what Jesus did. Jesus wanted his listeners to hear and contemplate what he was saying. The stories were not just to entertain his audience, they were to provoke thought. He wanted people to go home and ponder what had been said. And then maybe the more they thought about that story that Jesus had told, then maybe at some point the light would come on and the truth would be understood. Now, some people wouldn't put that kind of effort into it. They'd hear the story and they'd say, "Hey, Jesus, that was a nice story." But then they wouldn't give it any further thought. These were the people who were missing out. The truth was right there in front of them and they didn't grab hold of it. It's like they had come to the well of living water, but they didn't take a drink. Or you could say it this way, they had the bread of life right there in front of them, and they didn't eat it. I want to encourage you to be different than that. I want to be different than that. May we together pursue the truth. May we give thought and credibility to what Jesus taught in the Gospels. His words are truth. And his words are life. Now here's an interesting tidbit. All of Jesus' parables are in the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John's Gospel doesn't have any parables in it. And I suppose with John's Gospel being the last to be written, that he knew what was in Matthew and he knew what was in Mark and Luke, and he felt like they had covered the material, the parables quite adequately. And so John doesn't have any parables in his writing. There are 38 parables that Jesus told over his time of preaching. Interestingly, six of those 38 parables are recorded in all three Gospels. Some of the parables that Jesus told are really short. Others of the parables are longer, but in every parable you will find a nugget of truth. I want to begin this series by looking at two parables that are found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. And so let me read those two parables to you, this passage of scripture from Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 44. "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. "And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." Now, I mentioned to you just a moment ago that parables will have a nugget of truth in them. These two parables have the same nugget of truth, which is simply this: the kingdom of God is like a priceless treasure. It's the pearl of great price, and it is worth giving up everything to get it. There's the nugget of truth. I talked a few weeks ago about the good of repetition when it comes to learning. How many times has this point been emphasized of late? At least five times in my recent preaching, it's been emphasized, and it's all been very intentional. It's not because I have amnesia. and don't remember what I've said from week to week. No, it has been very intentional. 5 different times in my preaching, I have emphasized this point that the kingdom of God, that Jesus is worth everything. We've seen it in Peter's life. We've seen it in Andrew's life. We've seen it in James and John's life. We've seen it in Matthew's life. They left everything behind to follow Jesus. And now we have Jesus himself telling 2 parables that give emphasis to this same point. In the first parable, a fella is walking in a field, and he happens upon a buried treasure. He recognizes the value of the treasure. He then goes and gathers everything that he has and buys that field so that he can have that treasure. I read in several different sources that buried treasures were quite common in that day. People didn't have banks that they could take their money to and have it in a safe place. And so what did they do if they had money or they had treasures that they wanted to hang on to, that these were valuable things to them? What did they? They buried them in the ground for safekeeping. And then maybe something would happen to them, an unexpected death. If they had not told somebody where that treasure was that they had buried, then that's where it stayed until someone later would stumble upon it. The second parable tells of a man who is more intentional. He is seeking fine pearls, and in his search, he finds the pearl of great price. It's the pearl of all pearls. It's the find of a lifetime. He then goes and sells everything that he has so that he can buy that pearl. And Jesus then identifies for us what the buried treasure and the priceless pearl represents. He says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. I wonder, do you view the kingdom of heaven as a priceless pearl or a buried treasure? Is the kingdom of heaven at the very top of your bucket list that you would give up everything you have that you might have it? Interesting, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are used interchangeably in the Gospels. But then in Luke 17, Jesus puts a new perspective on it. He says this, the kingdom of God is in your midst. The New Living Translation treats that verse this way. The kingdom of God is already among you. And Jesus was speaking of himself in that passage. So as we talk about pursuing the kingdom of God, it's not like we're talking about that which is out there way in the future, far removed from us. Rather, the kingdom of God is right here in the present. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is Jesus. Jesus is the buried treasure and the priceless pearl that is worth everything we have. You might say, I thought Jesus was free. I thought Jesus was free, and you're talking about having to give up everything to have him? Now, how does that fit together? Kevin, it seems like that's a contradiction. He's free, and yet he cost us everything? Juan Corlys Ortez, in his book, The Disciple, from years ago, addressed this very topic, and I want to read it to you. He says, a man sees this pearl and says to the merchant, I want this pearl. How much is it? The seller says, it's very expensive. Well, how much? A lot. Well, do you think I could buy it? The man asks. Oh, yes, says the merchant. Everybody can buy it. But I thought you said it was very expensive. I did. Well, how much? Everything you have, says the seller. All right, I'll buy it. Okay, what do you have? Well, I have $10,000 in the bank. Good, $10,000. What else? Well, that's all I have. Nothing more? Well, I have a few dollars in my pocket. How much? Says the seller. What do you have? Let's see. He pulls out $100. That's mine too, says the seller. What else do you have? Oh, that's all. Nothing else. Where do you live? The seller asks. In my house. Yes, I own a house. The seller writes down, house. It's mine. Where do you expect me to sleep? In my camper? Oh, you have a camper, do you? That too. What else? Well, am I supposed to sleep in my car? Oh, you have a car. Yes, I own two of them. They're mine now. Look, you've taken my money, my house, my camper, and my cars. Where is my family going to live? So, you have a family. Yes, I have a wife and three kids. They're mine now. And suddenly the seller exclaims, oh, I almost forgot. You yourself, too. Everything becomes mine. Your wife, children, house, money, cars, and you too. And then he goes on. Now listen, I will allow you to use all these things for the time being, but don't forget that they're all mine, just as you are. And whenever I need any of them, you must give them up because I am now their owner. Wow. It's called surrender. It's called dying to yourself. We are called to give up everything if we want the pearl of great price. Now, let that sink in. The priceless treasure is free, but it costs everything. I mean, this is truly one of the paradoxes of the gospel that we need to think about, that we need to ponder upon. And this is exactly what Jesus wanted out of a parable. As he would tell a story, it would require some thought. It would require some pondering. And the more the listener thought about it, the more chance then for the truth to sink in. That one would pursue a priceless treasure, that one would pursue a pearl of great price, but have to give it up everything to get it. And Jesus, yes, he is free. Salvation is free. But it really does cost us everything because he says, I want to be first. I want to be Lord in your life. I want to matter most. I mean, all this stuff, all this worldly stuff, it doesn't measure up to having me in your life. Doesn't it make sense that we would be willing to give up everything for him because he gave up everything for us? All of us, all in, all the time. He wants all of us. I'm not saying just all of us. I'm saying he wants all of us. He wants our money. You hear that? He wants our money. He wants our mind. He wants our eyes. He wants our heart. He wants our hands and our feet. He wants our time. He wants our stuff. He wants our total commitment. Is it worth the cost? Think about this. The world cannot give to us what Jesus can give to us. Jesus, in him we have forgiveness of sins promised to us and the gift of heaven. The world cannot give us those kinds of things. In the world, apart from Jesus, a person has a very heavy burden of sin upon them. And that burden of sin only gets more heavy and more heavy and more heavy. And apart from Jesus, that person has hell awaiting them for all eternity. And so I say to you, no, the world cannot give to us what Jesus can give to us, what he promises to us. In Jesus, we have God's peace. In the world, apart from Jesus, a person has chaos and confusion and hopelessness. In Jesus, we have God's comfort and we have his help amidst hardship. Now, he does not promise to us an easy road. He doesn't promise us a rose garden, but we are promised his presence and his help amidst the hardships of life. But a person apart from Jesus, a person who is in the world that does not have Jesus in their life, they have those hardships too. And they're not looking to him for help. They're not looking for him to bear their burden. They're bearing the burden alone. And there's no end to the problems. They just keep mounting on top of one another and more problems and more problems. And so I say to you again, the world cannot give to us what Jesus can give to us. In Jesus, we have true freedom. In the world, a person is enslaved by sin. Do I need to keep going? In Jesus, we have his love surrounding us. In the world, apart from Jesus, true love is hard to find because everybody's looking out for themselves. And so back to the question, is the pearl of great price worth the cost? Is this hidden treasure worth the cost? Yes, it's worth everything because in him we find everything that we need. And so let me ask you, do you know him as Lord and Savior? Most of us here do. And I'm thankful for that. But some may not. I want to encourage you. You that know him already, I want to encourage you to go deeper with him. Grow your roots deeper into Jesus and loosen your grip on this world. It has nothing for you. And for you here that maybe don't know him already as Savior, you need to get to know him. Like right now. Like right now. You need to have a sense of urgency. Did you notice in the two parables the urgency to buy the field and the urgency to buy the pearl of great price? These fellas, they went out immediately to make the purchase. No waiting until tomorrow. No procrastination whatsoever. This was a no-brainer kind of decision. Like I need to get this treasure right now. I need the pearl of great price right now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not sometime later. Because I can guarantee you, if you say tomorrow, I'll make this decision for Jesus tomorrow. I'll do it later, just not right now, but I'm sure I'll get around to it. When you say that, the devil immediately goes to work overtime on you because he wants your words someday, tomorrow, to eventually become never. He wants your word tomorrow. Someday I'll get around to that. He wants that to become never. And so he'll work. He'll work around the clock, distracting you, helping you to say each day, tomorrow, I'll take care of that. You know, next week I'll do that. Next, not today. I don't want to walk the aisle today. I don't want to say yes to Jesus today and be baptized into him. No, I'll do that some other time. And he will work and work on you. The offer is made. The pearl of great price is available. It's free. But it will cost you everything to have it. Let's pray together. God, help us. Help us to know the truth. Help us to understand the truth that you have told us in parables, Jesus. And we pray this in his blessed name. Amen. Let's stand together, please.